It's 1 o'clock. Welcome to the finance show of tiptv.co.uk. Our first guest this afternoon is Gaurav Sharma, who's an oil analyst for Sharecast. Good afternoon, Gaurav. How are you?
Good afternoon. Good to see you as always.
Right. I'm just really shocked that the Iranians are pumping out oil and there's no freeze on production. What went wrong?
Well, you know, there's a lack of trust between all these producers. Last week, the Saudi oil minister said the big oil powers, as he defines them, there's an inherent lack of trust. So we had this farce of a so-called freeze being announced by Venezuela, Qatar, and more importantly by Russia and Saudi Arabia. And it was just, it was a stupidity of epic proportions. Because quite frankly, if you look at the data, the Saudis are running out of people to sell their crude oil. And I don't think the Russians have any further capacity to, or the technical know-how to further enhance their production. So it was very convenient for them to say, let's freeze at January's level, because they know they can't go beyond that in the first place.
Well, the other thing was the Iranians said, oh, well, the Russians and the Saudis are freezing production, so we can increase.
Indeed. Their quip was they initially welcomed it, then they belittled it, and then they, like you and me, are saying it was a bit of a farce because, quite frankly, the Saudis stepped into the breach as people started taking less and less of Iranian oil in wake of the sanctions. So what they're saying is that, it's not going to happen, is that you ask the Saudis and the Russians to sort of retreat from the market, whereas we've been suffering for 3 years, so let us sell whatever we want to sell. It's not going to happen. It's just that there's going to be more and more crude on the market.
Let's have a look at the couple of slides you brought in. First is...
Well, this is our usual look at oil prices and see these are the two levels we have. This was what the IOCs are looking at, and we are way below that. And $40 was the sort of comfort level of most of the US shale plays. So what's happening is we're considerably below that. We've had Brent go above 35 on account of this sort of strange talk about there being a kumbaya moment and everybody will come together and freeze production. But what I see and what the EIA is also noting is that shale has started to struggle, which is what we'll see in the next 6 months. Of course, we discussed this a fortnight ago that everybody has a need to monetize their barrels. And that probably includes shale players in the Eagle Ford, Texas shale plays. But right now, they're also struggling. The other issue is, and if you could quickly go to the next slide, which is what tells you why everybody's struggling. So see, take a look at that. This is courtesy of friends at Oxford Economics and other data published by these countries. Look at the Canadians all the way up there. And if you look at all these countries, their debt to GDP ratio is well above 40%, probably exclude Bahrain and Canada. And this is the struggle that is going on in the world. These are the average price. We're sort of this far into this year, we're about $30, a little above $30 a barrel. And this is what they've budgeted for. So, Zach, if we take an average of all of this, we're looking at all these governments having budgeted at an oil price which is 54% higher than what it is doing right now. So something has got to give, which is why I've been saying that over the next 6 months, lots of volatility, a lot of OPEC production might also just be forced into it because some of it is just not economical. Venezuela is not even on this chart because if I put that there, we go out of the screen because they need somewhere around $107 and it's not going to happen anytime soon.
Well, you never know. But the only thing that strikes me here is that all these countries presumably have sort of economic forecasting. They have people who've got brains and everything else. And none of them realized from looking at a chart that oil was doomed 6 months, 9 months ago.
Oh, absolutely. We've been talking about it for a long time. And if you look at how we're going forward, yes, you know, I'm sort of saying by the end of the year, we would touch 50. We'll keep struggling for the next 6 months. We might go down to 20. We might come back up another $5 here, $2 here. We'll keep struggling for the next 6 months. And then there'll be a very gradual creep up towards 50. But even 50 would not keep a lot of these products.
If you look at the daily chart, something I said over a year ago or even more, if you look at the daily chart of crude over the last 20 years, it has two trading ranges, either between $80 and $120 or between $40 and $10.
Indeed.
And so that somebody says 60, that's not going to happen.
It's neither here nor there.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't actually stay between 40 and 80. It goes, rushes up or rushes down. So I'd rather somebody say it's going to go to 80 or say it's going to go to 10. Ooh. But 60 is the wrong number.
See, the reason I'm saying it might not go to 80 is that what's in storage is the known unknown. Mm. There's a lot in storage. You look at Cushing in Oklahoma. It's full, not full to capacity, but nearly getting there. You look at the Emirate of Fujairah up in the UAE. They're building tanks like anything because they see potential. The port of Fujairah is just enhancing their storage capacity. So are the others. Now, quite a bit of it is in storage. Let's say we see an uptick of about $5 or $6 or thereabouts over the coming months. How will these guys respond? How will oil that is in storage come back onto the market? What will be the pace at which it comes back? That will determine where we go. We could well slip back towards 20 if suddenly some of the oil that's held in storage simply has to come to market. The contracts are expiring or for whatever reason. That's a tricky bit here. It's all well and done. We can sit down and say, well, production will decline and we'll see a gradual creep up to 80 or, you know, whatever suits anybody. The reason I've sort of tempered that is because there is so much in storage and we don't know where we're going with that. And a lot of these economies are struggling. You know, a lot of people are saying, will we have some kind of a downturn? You look at some of the major oil exporters. If you look at the oil exporters in the emerging markets, they're heavily reliant. Look at the Russians. They have their economy is just not diversified enough. You look at all these guys, you know, all right, some of these four or five exporters can cope. Canada can cope. But there are a lot of these players out there who are emerging market exporters, and they're heavily reliant on oil exports, and oil is not just oil, commodities export. And commodities have been the worst performing asset class of last year.
Well, I mean, just the other point, I don't know if I mentioned to you before, but I was listening to a recording of news items in 1986. It was on Radio 4, I think, a month or so ago, and it was... There was a recording of somebody saying, oh, the oil price is the worst it's ever been, you know, it's $10, it's $20, it's a 30-year-old recording. And obviously the next year there was a crash in the stock market. So the 1986 crash in oil led to a stock market crash. And they could have been talking today, you know, the type of the commentaries and the excerpts they had of those old times. Isn't you know, the crude oil slump a symbol of, or a leading indicator on, an economic downturn and an economic disaster?
Well, it's looking like it. It is looking like it, increasingly looking like it. But I don't think we'll hark back to how bad it was in 2008. The one way I link the two is that a lot of non-OPEC production is driven by debt. And let's say the big four U.S. banks have been on record saying we're not going to lend much more to the oil and gas business. All right, that's well and done. That's for the debt going forward. But what about the debt that needs to be serviced this year? And a whole lot of these players would be in trouble. And then suddenly the domino effect starts, because I repeat, a lot of non-OPEC production is serviced by, debt has, borrowing has kept it going.
Yeah.
So there is definitely a connect. Will it be as bad as, you know, this is not the subprime crisis all over again. There are a lot of bad debts in the oil and gas business. There will be a number of independents going under. We might have the odd negative quarter or two, but will it be as bad as 08, 09? I doubt it.
I'm looking at the chart of the 80s, and it was just the collapse came in 85, 86, and it took until 1990 for the oil price to get up to $40 again.
Indeed.
So we're hanging around the $20 to $30 mark for 5 years. 5 years. Mm. I mean, 5 years of this, and it's like, you know, the people will be, well, they'll be more than crying, won't they?
Indeed. Well, you know, people keep saying we'll get a benefit out of it. The boost to global GDP is 1 to 1.5%. That's IMF has said that too. All right. Well, you take that over the short term. Over the long term, there could be very serious repercussions, and I totally agree with you. We could, but you know, unlike the 80s, I think probably 50 might be the new number we would be stuck around.
Okay, Gaurav Sharma, oil analyst for Sharecast, thank you very much for cheering us up today, if you're an oil bear, that is. We'll be back after the break.